Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to John and chapter 21. And we're reading the verses 15 to 25, and I'd like to invite Sheila to read these verses to us.
Verse 15 to the end of the last chapter of John. Jesus reinstates Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written.
Thank you very much indeed, Sheila. I'd like to call this sermon this morning "The Call of God," and I'll explain more about that later. It's a famous, well-known passage that ends the Gospel according to John. It's the reinstatement of Peter, the restoration of Peter. And I hope and I pray that as we look at it, that we might even see ourselves in this passage and be shown that God is not finished with you yet. That's sometimes what we need to understand. And I hear time and time and time again people say, "I am not good enough." And that is true. And it's always true. But at the same time, Jesus Christ is the only one who can make us right in the eyes of the Father. With the clocks going back last night, we're reminded that we're moving into the dark time of year. And we're moving into winter time. And I suppose Halloween's going to be upon us soon, that time that glorifies the dark and the paranormal and the supernatural. But it's always surprised me that with the fascination that there is with the dark side, there is also at the same time a skepticism with that which is truly supernatural. And in John's Gospel, that's what we're seeing. In John's Gospel, we are seeing the man who is God, and John makes it very clear and is at pains to show from the very beginning that Jesus Christ is the man who is God. He's the one who makes the supernatural natural. from the very beginning, in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John shows Jesus through these seven signs that we've looked at, beginning with the turning of water into wine at Cana of Galilee. Ultimately, the raising of Lazarus from the dead at Bethany. That was all supernatural. And for someone like Peter, and for John, the writer of the Gospel, and for those others who were eyewitnesses to what they saw and heard Jesus do, the supernatural became natural to them. It became the norm. And here we are being confronted with this again. In the miracles, in the healings, in the teachings of Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul puts it in 2 Timothy chapter 1, the one who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the Gospel. And here is something completely supernatural to end John's Gospel once again. Here is the risen Jesus. We didn't read the verses before this, but John makes it clear that three times Jesus appeared to his disciples, and there is this awkward, if not excruciatingly difficult, time for Peter, and indeed for the others as well. They've gone back to what they always did, to fish on the Sea of Galilee, and they caught nothing. Until they were confronted by a stranger on the shore who they realize is not a stranger at all. They realize, as Peter and John do, that this is the Lord, that this is Jesus. And he is risen. He lives. He speaks. And he even eats in their presence. He is the one who makes the supernatural natural. And Jesus has something to say and to do. He has something to say to his friend Peter. Peter is a wonderful character in the Gospel. We have to remember that this passage is about Peter, but it's not written by Peter. It's written by his great friend John. And he is showing the world that Peter has a huge role to play. And that his denial of Jesus three times before is not the end of the matter. Now, I don't know to whom this word might speak today. Maybe to all of us. It's not the end of the matter. Because we have maybe messed up, maybe once, maybe twice, maybe many times. When we look at what it is that Jesus Christ has to say to Peter, we see more than just a conversation, more than just an interrogation. It is a restoration of hope and of trust in this man. He is putting his faith in the one who has denied three times that he even knew him. Peter had been called before. So in titling this, The Call of God, we could really call it The Recall of God. And certainly the reconciliation with God of Peter. Because what would Peter have been? He was a fisherman before he met Jesus in John chapter 1, who called him along with his brother Andrew and others to follow Jesus Christ and to live with him as those who would be fishers of men. But Peter has drifted, culminating in him denying three times that he ever knew him. And when we read through the four gospel messages, we see that even it was with oaths and even with curses that he does this at times. So I hope, though, that this encourages anyone who feels that they've been drifting away from God to realize that God is not finished with you yet. And Jesus is saying more than follow me in this passage. He's saying, I trust you so much, Peter, that I am prepared to entrust my most precious possession to you. You will look after my people. This was one of these moments for Peter that he was never going to forget. Difficult and uncomfortable it may have been, but it was something that needed to happen. Because if it hadn't happened, what was he going to be? He may have spent the rest of his life as Simon, the son of John, Simon Bar-Jonah, a fisherman, maybe even a successful fisherman on the Sea of Galilee. He may have become wealthy, like some of the fishing millionaires of the East Coast and Shetland and other places. He may have become successful. He may have become popular and a spokesman for his brothers and his friends. But what was that going to be in comparison to being in the will of God? Because if this had not happened, Simon would still have stayed with his nets, maybe unsuccessful, maybe on good days, thinking of the good times when he walked with Jesus, the Son of God, the one of whom he said, let us remember, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was the testimony of the man who later on was to deny three times that he ever knew Jesus. And on the bad days, what do you think he would remember? The three times, tortured by the memories of the three times that he had denied Jesus Christ. This is Peter, who needed for this to happen, who was maybe wishing it never would happen and dreading that he would ever meet Jesus again. We didn't read the earlier verses of John 21. But when John says it is the Lord, Peter actually jumps into the sea and wades towards the shore. Impetuous to the end, Peter has to be first to reach the shore to see Jesus for himself. And then this cross-examination that we read at the end of John 21 takes place. And maybe it is possible that as we look at this, that the Holy Spirit might cross-examine our own hearts too, as we think of what it meant for Peter, that it might speak of what it means to us as well. Think of three things today: repentance, release and restoration, and recommitment. First of all, there is repentance. That simply means turning around and turning back again. And that's what Peter had to do, and he knew it. There is a passage in Luke chapter 22 where the Lord Jesus said to Peter that Satan had wanted to sift him as wheat. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for you, Peter. I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have been converted, when you have turned back, strengthen your brother. It was something yet that had to happen in Peter's life. There he was, a follower of Jesus, an open associate of Jesus, identified even by strangers as those who had been with the Galilean, but yet he denied he ever knew him. But Jesus said to him, when you are converted, when you turn back, that was something that had to happen. He had to meet Jesus. When that day comes, you will strengthen your brother. So it is that this very painful meeting takes place. And three questions are asked. And that's not a coincidence. Three times Peter had said, I do not know him. And three times Jesus asks him, Simon, son of John, in the first place, do you love me more than you love these? Did you love me more than anything and anyone else? Peter was the one who had said, even if everyone else falls away, I won't. I am prepared to follow you to prison and to death. And he was probably as shocked as everyone else when the Lord said to him, will you indeed, Peter, will you follow me to prison and to death? I tell you the truth, before the cock crows, you will deny three times that you ever knew me. And how hard that would have been for him to receive, but even to comprehend how it was possible. Three times he would deny that he ever knew Jesus. And so that question is asked, and that answer is given. Do you love me? Peter is asked. And the replies come. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And then again, the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And John writes that Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. And it's these three questions and indeed the three answers that Peter gives that gets to the heart of the matter. Because Jesus asks that question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he uses the word agape, which is used to describe a heavenly love, a higher love than is humanly possible. It's the love of God. And Peter does not reply with that word. Peter replies with the word phileo. It's a brotherly love. I love you, Lord, but I love you as I love my brother Andrew. And I'm convinced that as much as anything, this is what breaks Peter. Because he knows deep down in his heart, he does not love Jesus in the way that Jesus loves him. If you were asked the same question by the Lord Jesus Christ today, what would your answer be? What would my answer be? You've sung maybe since Sunday school times, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You might even believe it. But is that love for Christ unrequited? Is that a love that is not returned? I think if we're honest, we would be very like Peter. Our love for God is of a very human quality. It is not heavenly. It is not of God. At best, it is the kind of love we have for others compared to his love for us. But if we were asking Jesus Christ the same question, and how many of you have had the courage to do so? In fact, it's not a question we even need to ask. Lord, do you love me? The word of God gives us a reply. Jeremiah chapter 31, I have loved you with an everlasting love. It is a love that is unconditional. It is a love that speaks of sacrifice that is eternal and stronger than death itself. It speaks of what we think of the power of the cross conveying to God and to his people. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And there is nothing that can take you from my hand. Peter denied publicly 3 times and he knew Jesus. And Jesus publicly asks him 3 times, do you love me? There is a purpose though in this. There is a purpose in the pain. It's not to torment Peter, but to bring him back in repentance. And we read in the Gospels of how Peter went out into the night weeping bitterly, knowing that he had denied 3 times he ever knew Jesus. Think of it this way, that repentance begins with God. The opportunity to even to get right with God and to ask for God's forgiveness begins with him. Peter could have spent the rest of his life stuck, except that Jesus intervened so wonderfully as he does in this passage. And what that repentance is leading is to release and to restoration. Peter is led in broken repentance to the Father so that he can be released, like a prisoner losing his chains, and restored like the prodigal son. Peter responds 3 times saying, you know that I love you. You know that I love you like I love my brother Andrew, and maybe the rest of the disciples too. But that is not the end of the story. There is something that follows from each one of these answers that Peter gives. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, follow me. It was not the end of the matter that Peter had missed it. He was being gloriously restored. God had use for him. And the one who called him as a fisher of men now had a shepherd. And Peter was going to spend the rest of his life not as a fisherman, broken and directionless on the Sea of Galilee. He was going to be an under-shepherd. He had been given back his life. And God is saying to them, care for my people. Feed them, look after them. Nurture them, and Peter, die for them. How did Peter feel at that moment? Well, I believe that Peter felt like the prodigal son felt when the father put the ring on his finger. And Luke chapter 15 shows us in the story of the prodigal son that that was done for a reason. The signet ring was put back on the son's finger to show that he had the father's approval and blessing. And not only that, but could act on behalf of the father. Peter is given a position to speak on behalf of God with the authority of Christ himself. It's a very different Peter we meet just 2 chapters later than this in the book of Acts. just two chapters on from John 21. On the day of Pentecost, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, is so different, so animated, so powerful in God, so discerning. Knowing what it is that has happened and delivering the first Christian sermon in the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter has been released, as if a great millstone has been taken away. I don't know if any of you who have been crofting have ever come across a sheep or a lamb, a noish. It's been caught in barbed wire. It's not nice. That sheep will struggle even more when the crofter hoves into view. And the more you try and release that sheep, the more that sheep will struggle as long as it is able to do so. But the only help and the only hope that the sheep has is the shepherd. And as the crofter tries to pull and cut away the wool so that the sheep can be released, it's going to hurt. And it will cause pain and it will be frightening for the sheep. But the only hope is the shepherd. And Peter knows it. And so should we. Peter knows it, and that's why the words that Jesus has following this probably are so uplifting to him. Feed my lambs and feed my sheep. Take care of them, Peter. And again, let's remember that this is not Peter that's writing this. It's not an autobiography. It's John. It's John, his great friend. It brings not only release, it brings restoration. Peter has given his life back. But not life as he had known or lived it before now. The release that God the Holy Spirit brings into the life and soul of a person brings us into a life that we have never experienced before. Why do you think that Jesus says in the gospel, I have come that they may have life and that they might have that life in its fullness? Restoration is only found in God. The words of Jesus Christ here can cut, but they're bringing healing to Peter. Remember how the woman at the well in Samaria in chapter 4 of John's Gospel, she was cut and she was hurt maybe by the words of Jesus and the questions he asked of her, but there was healing. Remember the woman taken in adultery in John 8. The words of Jesus gave her release and restoration too. As the paralyzed man. And this leads to recommitment. The Peter who had said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death, wasn't able to do that. He messed up. And we all do. But Jesus Christ restores and gives Peter a new opportunity. A new opportunity to follow. And we read something amazing that Jesus gives to Peter. An insight, a revelation of how things will be for him. And it might not have been what he expected or even wanted to hear. He is given an indication, a prophetic indication of what the future will hold. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And John makes it clear that Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter will glorify God. And Peter in reply said, "But what about him?" Now I might have said to you before that that was me. Someone who would always say in response to the call of God, "But what about him?" The reply to Peter was the same as the reply God gave me, as he will give you too. What is that to you? You follow me. Peter was being shown in these verses that there was a cross waiting for him. And according to Christian tradition, it was said that Peter was crucified during the reign of the Emperor Nero in Rome. Would he have swapped that cross for a fishing boat that was sailing in and out of Tiberias and Capernaum and Bethsaida and the other villages on the Sea of Galilee? I doubt it very much. But what about you? And what about me? Repentant of your past. And you've known us well. Release and restoration. But God is giving you an opportunity to recommit your ways to him. Maybe not in the same way as Peter or anybody else. The words that Jesus spoke to Peter are as true to you and as to me. What is that to you? You follow me. Don't look to others. Don't wait for others. You follow me. May God bless his word to us this morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the call of God in the life of Peter. And we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit that your call would come to us to leave our lives and what we have maybe been living before, and to live for you. We thank you for the life and the example that we read of in the words of Jesus to Peter. And we ask that by faith that we might be open to your leading and guiding of us too. That you would have your way with us, O God. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit rest upon and remain with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.